what spiritual fruit is coming out of my life. What is growing out of my life? What am I doing in the kingdom of God? What am I doing for the purpose of God and for the plan of God and for the success of his kingdom and the success of his house? How am I reaching the nations? How am I reaching my neighbor? How am I serving God? What fruit is coming out of my life? How am I changing? How am I moving from the milk to the solid food? Who here has ever heard of the 1 gallon challenge? Okay, the 1 gallon challenge has been around for a while. It's where you drink a whole gallon of milk in one sitting. Yeah. And we tried it at our youth group, and my friends tried it. Many youth groups have tried it, and it actually ends in basically milk vomit because your body can't take a whole gallon of milk in one sitting. In fact, you're not supposed to live. Man is not supposed to live on milk alone. Right? Okay. Or bread, by the way. Milk alone. Who here loves milk? Yes. Now, what's interesting is often, well, some of you are like, no, it's gross. I'm lactose intolerant. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. What's often true for us naturally, pay attention, I'm going to teach you something. What's often true for us naturally has a very large spiritual lesson. Because as we're not meant to physically just live on milk alone, we're not supposed to spiritually live on milk alone either. And so it's a great lesson for us, because the truth is, some of you have been on spiritual milk for far too long. It's going to be challenging for us today, myself included. Now, I know we have a lot of new believers at Fusion, and I love that. And one of them put it this way: God is drip feeding me right now, because this, the enormity of what we have in Jesus Christ takes a lifetime to learn and grasp and fully understand. I've been in ministry now for almost 25 years, and I still feel like I'm a moron. Nobody say amen to that, please. But I still feel like I have so much more to learn and grow, and I'm constantly trying to do that. And with these new believers, they're getting to know Jesus and all the blessings that come from knowing Christ as their Savior and what it means to have an eternity in him and live your life for a purpose in God. And hands down, new believers are often the most hungry for the things of God. But then there's some of you who are here, you've been Christians a long time, years, decades even, and you're still on the spiritual milk. You're still on the baby food, if you will. And so I think that God just really wants to work on us and help us to grow and become people who are craving things. He wants us to stay off the milk. So you really understand, I got this for you. This is milk. Everyone say milk. That's what that is. And not some of you aren't just on milk. You're on non-fat. I can't even look at you. Non-fat? Come on. We know you're going to make up that fat when you eat your candy bar later, so just, it's like the person that orders like, you know, a quadruple stack at whatever, the, you know, a double, 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 whatever they call it, 4x4, is that what they call it? At In-N-Out, and I'll take a Diet Coke, please. You're on the milk. You're on the milk. It's like this. I have a couple grandchildren, and I have one more on the way, and we're very excited about that. Now, when they were born, they started out on their mother's milk. And then they went and they began to start drinking formula in a bottle, and then they started getting mushed up food, right? And then as they grow, they'll become more mature, and they'll start eating solid food. Everybody comprehend what I'm saying to you right now? Okay, now, one night, one of my children decided to give one of the granddaughters a whole, like, tree of broccoli. And she's eating it, but she was not ready for it yet. She didn't have any teeth, so she started to choke, and I'm freaking out. Because my granddaughter's choking to death, and everybody was like, she'll spit it out. Like, no, she's not ready for it yet. So there's a process in our natural life that we're supposed to, like, grow into a more solid diet. You following me? The same is true with us spiritually. We start off on the milk of God's word, and the Bible calls it the pure spiritual milk, and we're called to grow and not just stay stagnant in the place that we're at and to begin to move forward. How awkward would it be if you were 5, if you were 12, or you were 27, or 57, or 62, or 71, And people were like, you were like, hey, you want to come over for dinner? They're like, yeah. And they came to your house, and you gave them some food, and you whipped yourself up a bottle of Enfamil. Wouldn't that be a little awkward? It's also awkward when that happens to us spiritually, when we should be more mature, when we should be growing, when we should be attaining more in Jesus Christ, and we're still whipping ourselves up a little spiritual bottle. It's pretty challenging to think about, isn't it? As we continue our series today called Stay the Course, here's what I want to talk about today, that we need to outgrow the milk. We need to outgrow the milk. Now, when I told my wife Laura this, and she always proofs my outlines before Sundays, so if there's ever a spelling error, it's 100% her fault. But she proofed my outline, and she just looks at me sideways. She's like, this is so cheesy. And I'm like, I know, but people will grasp it. And the more you stir the milk, the cheesier it gets. Thank you. I'll be here for one more service after this. Here's what's happening in the book of Hebrews, because Stay the Course is all about the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, he's writing to believers who are in danger of veering off course. Why? Because they're still on the milk. And they're not growing into more spiritual things. Some of you have known about God so long, but you have no knowledge of God. And so he's writing to this group of believers who are just in danger of falling off the wagon, if you will, steering off the course and leaving their relationship with God because they still are on the milk. And so here the writer Hebrews, he starts off, he says, listen, Jesus is God in the flesh. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than angels and demons. He's our great high priest. And then all of a sudden he comes to this part in chapter 5 and chapter 6, and he says, now wait a minute, before we go on to deeper things, we need to move you beyond the milk. Are you ready for what I'm about to teach you? And so he begins to grow and to challenge and to say, listen, I'm going to tell you some things, what should be happening in your life before we go into deeper things. And that's where he gets us this morning. He wants to take us to the next level. So the question we have this morning is this: how do we outgrow the milk and stay the course? How do we do that in our life? How do we go beyond where we're at and stay the course? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. Man, that's a powerful passage. How do we move beyond the milk and get to solid food so we can stay the course? Write this down. You need to motivate your mind for ministry. Everyone say motivate. He says, listen, you're not even trying to understand. You're not even putting in an effort. You're so complacent, you still need someone to make a bottle for you. He's kind of like talking a little smack, if you will, to these people and to us. You're not even leaning in to what God has for you. You're still on the milk. In other words, their problem was complacency. They became complacent with the things of God, and they felt like what they knew was enough. I know enough, so I'm fine. I don't need to grow anymore. And we all know that complacency kills, doesn't it? Everyone say complacency kills. It does in every area of your life. It'll cause you to become stagnant, your muscles will start to atrophy, and if you're not careful and you're doing a dangerous thing and you become complacent, it will kill you. It's just a matter of time. And the same thing happens to us spiritually, that if we become complacent spiritually, it will kill us spiritually. Look what the book of Proverbs says about it. It says, for simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own, everybody, complacency. They're destroyed by it. It destroys our life. And the writer of Hebrews is telling the believers and us today, listen, your complacency is keeping you from all God has for you. It's destroying you. It's destroying your life. Because you're complacent, you're not going where you should be going and you're not doing what you should be doing. What should you be doing? He says, by now, you ought to be teachers. But someone still needs to feed you. And so he challenges us. He says, by now, you should be imparting the good news and the faith that you have into other people. You should be teaching other people about the good news of Jesus Christ. You should be sharing the favor of God with other people. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be standing at the pulpit like I am right now, but some way, somehow, you should be teaching someone. He's very in our face with this. And I'm in your face with you today a little bit. You should be you've been Christians long enough, but I don't know enough. You know enough. But yet somebody has to still teach you. Isn't that so challenging? We have to motivate our minds for ministry. So what we have to say is, God, how would you use me? How would you want me to share the good news of Jesus? How do you want me to get off the milk and get on solid food so that other people might grow? Because your complacency doesn't just hurt you, it hurts other people. Colossians says this about our life. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. See, your whole person is in it. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So what that means is that my heart, my whole life is in it. I'm leaning into it, and I'm saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I want my heart to do this. Because some of you are so good at your job. You're so good at, if you will, faking it. You're so good at going through the motions. You're so good at hiding it. And you're so good at so many things. You're so good at being successful and making money, whatever it is you have in your life. But how good are you? How focused are you? How intentional are you at motivating your mind for ministry? God, what do you want me to do with my life? How do I get off the milk and move to solid things? Because God has more for us. This is why we're starting, again, the Leadership Academy here. And if you want to know more about that, you just click the Grow tab on the website and you'll see what we're doing, because we want to motivate people for ministry. Motivate people, say, God's got more for you. And it might not be a full-time vocational ministry. Maybe God's got ministry for you at your job. Number two, write this down. How do you get out of the milk, stay the course, and grow? You got to intentionally grow. You have to intentionally grow. When I was a kid, and some of you might have this too, there was a wall at my house, and it was the wall where Mom marked all of our heights. Anybody have that at their house? Okay. Some of you feel left out. After service, meet me in the lobby, and I'll mark your height on the wall. I didn't have that when I was a kid. I'll help you, and then we'll next step. Okay, we're going to grow together. Well, there was seven of us kids, so there was a lot of marks on the wall, and my parents never painted the house. And whenever they measured me and my brothers, we would always, you know, try to get our neck up a little taller, because the goal was to be taller than Dad one day. That was the goal. As a little boy, you just wanted to be taller than Dad and grow a little bit. There's something within us that God has given us a desire, and some of you have been ignoring this desire, this call from God. It's within us by God, from God, to grow. Because healthy things grow. Healthy things grow. And so we say, okay, God, how do you want me to grow? And be intentional about it, deliberate. In other words, I'm seeking ways in which I should grow. Look what the writer Hebrews says about it. He says, but solid food is for the mature. Everyone say mature. Who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Do you know that the more that you're training yourself, the more you're in God's word, the more you're growing in God's word, the better you will be at distinguishing good from evil. He goes on and says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. In other words, we don't need to lay the foundations of faith. We don't lay these things you already know about. We're going to move forward intentionally to maturity, and we're going to grow. That needs to be said of you. God, how can I grow? How can I intentionally move forward into maturity? How can I continue to move forward into what you have for me? How do I leave the ways of my spiritual childishness behind me? Here's what Paul told the Corinthians church. He said this, when I was a child, I talked like a child. goo goo ga ga giga goo goo. That means, Grandpa, you're my favorite. Some of you guys didn't know I was bilingual, huh? I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. I put them behind me. Some of you so need to hear this right now. It is time for you to put the childish things behind you. It's time for you to start living as God's man, as God's woman, and intentionally grow into maturity and leave those things, leave those addictions, leave those distractions, leave those excuses behind you and intentionally grow because God's got better things for you. It's time. It's time. And I pray the word of God cuts you deep today. It's time to get off the milk and crave solid food from God. Proverbs says this about it. It says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't let them out of your sight, but keep them within your heart." See, your heart, your whole person's in it. "For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body." It's health to your whole body. It's health to your whole person to grow spiritually, to grow closer with the Lord. It's health to your whole person, to your marriage, to your family. It's health to everything in your life. What? To grow in maturity in the Lord. It's not a diet fad. It's health to your whole person to get off the milk and crave solid food. And let me just tell you a couple of secrets. Don't tell anyone. People say, "Well, I don't want to grow because I don't feel like it. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like serving. I don't feel. But what I do feel, I feel like it's okay for me to sleep around. I feel like it's okay for me to look at pornography. I feel like it's okay for me to get drunk on the weekends and to be addicted to the bottle. I feel like it's okay for me to just live the life of a worldly person. And I know about God, but I feel like these things are, I don't feel like going to church. I feel like just, you know, spending the whole weekend for me every single weekend. And maybe I'll go to church, Christmas and Easter. Let me just tell you, here's the secret. Ready? God doesn't care about your feelings. What God cares about is, are you obedient to intentionally grow into what he's called you to become? And here's secret number two. Growing intentionally is always inconvenient. It always demands your time. It always is at an awkward moment. "I don't have time for this. I got a business run. I don't have time for this. I got this to go. I got a busy schedule, Pastor. You don't know how busy I am." But are you too busy for God? Are you not leaning in? Listen, it's going to be inconvenient. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take your most precious commodity, your time. Intentionally grow. And as we do that, you need to do this third thing. You need to look at the fruit. You look at the fruit. I have fruit trees in my garden. Well, that's a lie. They're not in my garden. They're still in the pots, okay? I bought them last year. It's like a fake garden. It's like a poser garden I have in my yard. They're in the pot, and I thought they were dead. And like they look like sticks, and I was like, oh, man, they're toast. And then I got this idea. Why don't I try watering them? Why don't I put a little fertilizer in there? And wouldn't you know it? A little nub came out and a leaf. And then branches and then these little flowers and fruit. It's amazing. Shocking. And I look at God, I'm like, I did that. One plants and one waters, but God makes it grow. And as you plant and as you water, there should be fruit coming out of your life, look what Hebrews says about it. It's impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. I'm going to stop right there for a second. This is probably one of the most contested passages in the Scripture. It's not necessarily saying that people who live the life of the prodigal can't come back to the Lord, because the Word of God is replete with people who lived in rebellion who turned their lives back to the Lord. But what it's saying really here is that there is no other place for them to find repentance other than Jesus. He goes, to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public shame. Land that drinks in the rain. How do you know it's not you? Here's how. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it and then produces a crop useful to those to whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. It gives us a great agricultural reference here. In other words, it's saying, listen, if you're not producing fruit, the only thing the farmer can do with land that won't produce is to burn it bare, replow it, and plant it with fresh seed. In other words, what was once there is now no more. And so we have this very serious call of God in our life that we should look at the fruit in our life to say, what's coming out of my life? What spiritual fruit is coming out of my life? What is growing out of my life? What am I doing in the kingdom of God? What am I doing for the purpose of God and for the plan of God and for the success of his kingdom and the success of his house? How am I reaching the nations? How am I reaching my neighbor? How am I serving God? What fruit is coming out of my life? How am I changing? How am I moving from the milk to the solid food? Evaluate the fruit coming out of your life. Take a serious look at it. The Bible says to watch your life and doctrine closely. Pay attention to it. Don't become complacent and ignore it. It's easy at this level of ministry in the church for pastors to coast. This message is challenging for me. It's firing on all cylinders. People are coming to know Jesus. The church is growing. We now have 3 services. Things are happening. We're working on raising up leaders, things like that. And I'm always challenging myself because it's just not in me to sit around and watch things happen. God, how do you want me to grow? What do you want me to teach? What do you want to teach me? How can you stretch me? What new ministry area? What place? How can we serve? How can we take care of the poor? What, God? What, God? What, God? I want to grow. I want this church to grow. I want you to grow. How do you do that? Well, how do you bear fruit? You need to stay in Christ. This is the number one answer. Survey says, stay in Christ. Because the danger is that we veer off. Jesus said in John 15, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And apart from me, he goes on, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if I went out to one of my fruit trees and I cut off a branch and I laid it on the ground, I said, okay, that's going to bear fruit. It's going to be great. And I went away and I came back. Guess what? That branch is going to wither up and die because it cannot bear fruit apart from the vine. And that's why I need to stay and you need to stay in Christ. Why? Because apart from the vine, I can do nothing. I can bear no godly fruit in my life apart from staying the course in Jesus Christ. How do I grow? Write this down. You need to keep diligent to the very end. I am just about sick and tired of seeing people, pastors even, people in ministry who have served God their whole life and at the end just quit. Just quit on God. Don't let that be you. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case. The things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence, everyone say diligence, to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We want you to imitate those who went from the milk
to solid food and persevered to the very end. They stayed the course and continued to focus on growing in Jesus Christ because they realized God's not done with me yet. He's got more for me in my life. So I'm going to stay the course in him. And so as we move from this milk, which is necessary in your infancy stage, we need the pure spiritual milk, the Bible says, but don't ever stay there. Grow in him. Lean into him. God, what do you want to teach me? What do you want to show me? How can I become a better servant of the Most High? Let me pray for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never taken your first steps into growing with the Lord. You've never given your life to Jesus. I want to give you that opportunity today. Whether you're here or you're watching at home, do you know Jesus? He's the vine and we're the branches. You need to be connected to him. You can surrender your life to him today. Let me give you that opportunity. You can just raise your hand right where you're at. We're going to pray. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to do anything weird or crazy. But right now, you could surrender your life to him. Anybody that would like to do that today? I'm going to pray for everyone here. Lord, I just thank you so much for your goodness in our life. I thank you that you've called us, God, to grow. You've called us to get off the milk and to move to solid things. Lord, things that lead us to maturity and a closer relationship with you. I pray that would be the drive and the passion of our heart to fight against complacency and laziness and to move forward in you because the best is yet to come. Amen.